Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Good Time Show. I'm your host, Damon Epps. Today, I'd like to introduce Justin Ternus. He's a doctor of physical therapy with an emphasis on mindfulness and performance. We will discuss the benefits of breathwork, ice baths, and the emerging world of psychedelic healthcare and the effects they have on the mind, body, and soul. So let's get into it, shall we?
Yes.
Let's get into it. So welcome to The Good Time Show, Justin.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
I like it. So you are a Northwest Arkansas local.
I am a Fayetteville native, born and raised. Grew up in Fayetteville, went to Fayetteville High School, went to the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, and studied pre-med kinesiology, wound up going the physical therapy route. That took me to Manchester, New Hampshire, right outside of Boston. And from there, across the country to San Diego, where I've been for the last 7+ years.
What made you want to be a doctor early on in life?
Yep. That's a family, very highly influenced by my family. My father was a psychiatrist.
Okay.
Uncle oncologist, uncle radiologist, uncle ER doc, another uncle in the medical field. My mom was a nurse. So that was always something that I was exposed to growing up and had a deep interest in. So I knew at some point, like I knew growing up, I loved medicine and being involved in medicine. That definitely pointed me in the direction of pursuing healthcare.
Did you have an idea that you were going to go down a different path before you got into mindfulness and wellness?
Oh, yeah. So the whole journey is just pretty phenomenal how everything's come together to where I am right now as far as teaching and facilitating meditation and not just the physical health practices, but a mental, emotional health practices. I was an athlete growing up, so I always played sports, and that's what drew me to physical therapy is because physical therapists are very hands-on with athletes and general population injuries. It's kinesiology, it's body movement, and that was my I perceived that that's what I wanted to do. And as I got into physical therapy and started practicing physical therapy, I noticed that a lot of my patients weren't getting better from the prescription of movement and exercises that we would have them do. And it was interesting to me because whenever someone has low back pain, you do low back pain exercises and they get better, but people weren't getting better. And I noticed that this demographic of people that weren't getting better showed up to the clinic very stressed out. They showed up anxious, tight, shallow breathing. And intuitively it's just like, okay, hey, let's breathe. Let's relax. What's going on? How can we like be present in this clinic right now? How can we like get you focused and open your body more relaxed and receptive to the physical therapy? And at the same time as I was asking my clients and patients these questions, I was doing a lot of self-discovery. I noticed my own anxiety and stressors, and that's when I jumped into the ice bath. I jumped into ice. I jumped into Wim Hof method, breath work, and I found that those work.
What years was this?
Is like 2016.
Okay, so 2016. So you were still in Fayetteville?
I'm in physical therapy school and going to class. I was always a kind of good student, but just good enough to get by. Smart. Never really like excelled in the classroom. Smart. And had ADHD and dyslexia, and I was like class clown sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I discovered that I wanted to just improve my health and wellness, and this is in physical therapy school. And prior to PT school, didn't have the best like last couple of years of college, depression, stress, not knowing what I wanted to do with my life, not making the best decisions, and reflected and at the same time of realizing that there were things that I no longer wanted to do that weren't serving me well, I discovered meditation.
Such as partying?
Yeah, partying. Yeah, okay. Partying. Yeah, partying.
Okay. That's good.
Partying. And I discovered Wim Hof method and breath work and meditation. And my sister.
Now, just so everyone that knows, I kind of know what breath work message, I mean, breath, sorry, the Wim Hof method is.
Yes.
And for any of you guys out there that are listening, Wim Hof is the guy, if you watch Instagram at all, he's the guy that always is in like the Arctic swimming with a group of people, or he's got some crazy ice bath.
Yeah.
But he's very famous on the internet.
He's the
Iceman.
He's the Iceman. He's from the Netherlands. He has a crazy beard, crazy accent. He climbed Mount Everest in nothing but shorts and boots. This guy was considered superhuman because of these feats, subjecting himself to extreme cold conditions. But he never took that credit of like, oh, I'm superhuman, I'm special. He's like, everyone can do this. We can all breathe. We can all get into the cold. All we need to do is...
Do you know what made him want to do it?
Yeah, so his wife died by suicide when he was in his like upper 20s. And so whenever she died, he went into depression. And he said that he had this like... woke up in the middle of the night, had this like premonition. He heard some words that said, the ice will heal you. Like, go to the cold. And so like the next morning, I think he went into the like winter... waters of the Netherlands, and he just started doing that every single day, and he became that guy, that like weird guy that was getting into the cold water. And news there's like a newscast that recognized that.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I haven't even watched the newscast, but I know that there was a situation where they were like watching this. I guess his neighbors were probably like, look at this crazy idiot, like
crazy
guy that's in the water of the Netherlands in icy cold water. And then it wasn't just it might be two different things. Like the news like filmed him or whatever, but they also took him to a science.
Well, that's later.
Two different things. Okay, great.
So we'll just like complete the Wim Hof like story.
Sorry, let me.
And if you want to learn more about Wim Hof, there's a ton of videos on that. But he gained popularity, became the Iceman, and he started to share and teach his breathing practice that helped him control his nervous system and helped generate heat so that he could go into the cold for long periods of time without getting hypothermia. And then he would get out and feel amazing, and his energy would be great. And down the line, they did research his technique, the Wim Hof method. They took like 20 individuals, gave them an exotoxin that would make you vomit, throw up, get sick. And Wim Hof trained these individuals how to do this breathing technique, and not a single one of them showed symptoms at all. Like they got like double dosed, and they're like, nope, we're good. And they were just breathing and really circulating and empowering their body and their body's immune system to combat these toxins. And so that was a really like trademark event and research study, which essentially showed that through our conscious action, breathing, we can influence not only our nervous system, but we can also influence our immune system for the better. And so that really exploded into this new popularization of breath work as being a healthcare modality. And that's really what piqued my interest. And I brought Wim Hof method into the physical therapy clinic and started teaching my stressed out patients breathing techniques, which is like a hyperventilation with some exhale holds, exhale retentions. And that really caps your body's your body's biochemistry and makes you change your blood pH purposefully in an acute manner that has a really positive benefit. And all my patients were just like, they loved it, their stress went away, and they had improved patient outcomes as far as the documentation goes. And I was the woo-woo physical therapist that everyone kind of like make fun of.
Gotcha. So this is 2016?
This is 2016 is when I learned Wim Hof method, and I practiced it by myself for like 2 years. And
okay.
I was like, I have a superpower. And I told people about it, and they're like, you're fucking crazy. I was like taking a cold bath every single morning in New Hampshire in the winter. It's really cold. And so I was taking cold baths, and I was like getting to class, and I was like buzzing with energy, and like I was excited to learn, and all my ADHD went away. And I'm like the perfect student for the first time in my whole life because I was actually like interested. And the rest of my classmates are like drowning in coffee and asleep. And I was just like, okay, there's something going on here. And so 2018 is when I got into practice. So from 2018 to 2020, before COVID happened, I had 2 years of implementing this into the into my space as a physio. And so it's just fascinating how that work so effectively. And so I teach that now. And when COVID happened, I just naturally was like, okay, everyone's stressed out. Jumped on Facebook, was like, okay, everyone, Facebook Live, hey, let's breathe together. And started doing some like breathwork practices. And like hundreds of people would join and be like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you. Because everyone's trapped in their house and stressed the hell out. And so then I was like, oh, I should teach breathwork. Maybe I'm a breathwork coach instead. So I have shifted from physio, not fully. I still have my license. I still practice. I still love helping individuals with their physical ailments. But I've shifted to the stress reduction practices, because it doesn't matter what's going on physically, mentally, behaviorally, at work. If you're stressed, you're not going to perform well. So I try to find ways that can help people release stress, reduce stress, and perform better. And whatever that means for you, performing at work, life, sports, athletics, recreation. So that's where I've shifted. Still physio, but now like stress coach is probably the most current title for me.
What have you found? You said that you know, people weren't getting healed. Did you find that people were, like, that breath work is actually starting to heal people with their back injuries and that kind of world?
So it supports the healing process, because we naturally heal as humans. Our body's like made and set up to combat injury, tissue damage, disease. And so breath work in certain ways, and there's so many breath techniques. There's a ton. It's not just Wim Hof method. There's holotropic, and then there's box breathing, and there's just regular meditation.
What is box breathing?
Box breathing is like, okay, yeah, box breathing is like the easy one to remember. It's like 4 seconds in, 4 seconds hold, 4 second exhale, 4 second hold. So you make this box with your breath. 5 second, 10 second box breath, 10 second inhale, 10 second hold, 10 second exhale, 10 second hold. So controlling your breath and having these little moments of holding gives you breath control. It also encourages you to slow down, brings your focus awareness to your body, to your breath. And those all those little factors add up for a positive experience. Everyone's like, oh, box breathing is amazing, right? But what they're really doing is just slowing the fuck down, getting present with their body. And you can do that with a box. You can do that with a triangle. You can do that with all kind of up and down, Wim Hof. So breath, from what I how I practice it, it's a way to manipulate the nervous system in many ways. So you can, I use a lot of different techniques together versus just like, I'm a Wim Hof teacher and I only teach Wim Hof. I'm like, I'll take pieces from Wim Hof. I take pieces from box breathing and I fit it to you and whoever I'm working with and really individualize it.
So I did breath work because I was kind of on a date and I thought it might be something cool for us to do. And I genuinely saw it on a list at a yoga studio and it said, breath work. I legitimately thought I was going to lay down and breathe and think about the moon and talk about zodiac signs, because that's what it was, a yoga studio. And I was like, Los Angeles, you know what I mean? I'm a Taurus.
Venice or something.
Oh yeah, I'm a Taurus. And you know what I mean? I like nice, shiny things. The next thing I know, the guy was a teacher that had been living in a temple for, I don't know, 8 years or something. He was a pretty intense guy. He then had told me that we were going to breathe very, very hard. We were going to breathe, and he said something, which you can probably tell me all the stuff that happens. There was something that's over your heart. There's like something that's whatever, like, I don't know, I'm going to say acid, but like some kind of something.
Okay.
You breathe, and all of a sudden, to not be worried, but my hand was going to cramp up, and it might start to raise then over my head. I had no idea what he was talking about. I was like, this is a little crazy. I was here to just have a talk about zodiacs. But I said, whatever, I was all in. So I start breathing. I want to get into this a little bit later too, about like, cause it is some of this stuff. It looks a little crazy and we are in Arkansas and I feel like I want to talk about how the transition, because in LA it's kind of
disclaimer. You're talking like LA woo-woo breathing vibes, but underlying everything that you're about to talk about and what happened is science. It's physiology. It's everything. So I'll just like break.
So
listen to what he's saying, because it happens to a lot of people. It's called tetanus or tetany.
Oh yeah. Tell me what
it's
that
called
is.
Tetany. It's like a nervous system reaction. You breathe in such a way that your blood flow goes into your core and your nervous system is very stimulated, sympathetic, and your body can go into fight and flight. Or freeze, and there's this like freeze, like polyvagal nervous system response, and so you're almost like in this, like when you fall asleep, your body goes into the paralysis. Like you're slightly aware and awake, you're dreaming, and but your body's like in a state of paralysis. So when you're breathing, you kind of go into this like sleep hypnotic state, and you're no longer in control of your body, so that like kind of tensioning of the hand can happen. It doesn't really happen that much. Whenever I do breathwork practices, people don't get that experience.
Yeah, no,
this is a different type of breath technique that you're talking about that I know of. And so
Me and you did a breath work. This was definitely a much different situation.
But finish your story because it's funny.
When you guys all out there, definitely do breath work. I totally believe in it.
And the power of persuasion is amazing too. You're like, oh yeah, you're gonna do this breath work, and sometimes people quack like a duck, and next thing you know, Damon's on the ground quacking.
I also was all in. I got there. I was like, whatever.
There's
Kundalini people, and it was just like, it was a whole thing. So, you know, I went in and I just kept breathing. And I had some really awakening moments of like, this got really crazy. I mean, because it is, I mean, you are hyperventilating to a point. Now, in this room, we did your class. It is not as intense as what this was. But maybe in a similar way. It definitely is
psychedelic in some
way. Oh, 100%. I definitely, yes. There's definitely
A component of that.
So at a certain point, like if you want to talk about like what happened, I was breathing so hard that all of a sudden I propelled, and I told you before, all of a sudden I was sitting in somebody's trailer park. I didn't grow out of a trailer park. I don't know why I was in a trailer park home. I have no idea. It's like the weirdest thing that ever happened. I tell people all the time, like, I breathed until I was sitting in a trailer park.
Well, so let's not scare the viewers and let's not scare the listener. No, this is great. You can leave it because it's funny. But like, you never know what your brain is going to create. Like, you go into dream state. You go so far into dream state, I'm sure people have had a dream about it.
So let's talk about that before. Let's get into that. So you, when you breathe, okay, so we start this breathing technique, just so everybody can understand. You do this breathing technique. We do the breathing. It's like...
You and this dude or you and me?
No, you and me. Or just all of it. Just in general. I want to talk about... I want you to explain to everyone of like... So you start the breathing. You go into a thing. We do these holds. And you even said a little bit of like, it does like it's a fight or flight, but it just explain to us what happens during this process, I guess.
Okay, cool. Breath 101. When we breathe, it's respiration. We're pulling air into our lungs. We're breathing oxygen. Oxygen is then distributed into our blood vessels. That goes into our cells. Cells create energy, heat, productivity. So our respiratory system, our lung system, is the number one energy-producing system of the body. In today's day and age, we think it's the stomach, the gastrointestinal, like, hey, I don't have energy. I need energy drink, energy bar. Oh, I'm tired. I need to eat food. Yes, we need food, but we can go like 7 days, 10 days without food. You're fine. You can't go much more than 2 minutes without breath because that is our number one source of energy. So respiration is happening. Even when we hold our breath, you're still pumping blood, you're still circulating that oxygen, and it's still being used, and it creates that energy production. So that's respiration. When you hyperventilate, most people know and are familiar with hyperventilation when it comes to stress and anxiety, panic attacks, like things happen and your body reacts. That's an autonomous reaction. That's an involuntary hyperventilation. It stimulates the nervous system. There's a cascade effect of different hormones that are released to combat whatever situation that is. Now, in term of breath work, controlled hyperventilation, voluntary, I'm doing this willingly to pull more air in, to ventilate a little bit faster, to purposefully stimulate myself into that sympathetic system, fight or flight. So my body reacts, my brain reacts, has that cascade effect of like readiness. And then I go, and slow down. And your body's confused for a moment. Your brain's confused for a moment because you were just like reacting like something dangerous was happening. And then you go into a nice slow cadence. And when you go into that slow cadence, your body and your brain quickly recognize, oh, I'm safe. Everything's cool. I'm good. And then you drop even deeper into relaxation. So many people in today's day and age are stressed the hell out. They're like statically, chronically stressed. And they try to meditate and they try to slow down. They just can't do it. Like, they're like, they try an app for 20 seconds. And they're like, this doesn't fucking work. No meditation for me. But your physiology isn't open to that meditation. Your physiology is like locked in that static stress state. That's why exercise is beneficial, because you're purposefully engaging in sympathetic nervous system. And then after you're done with the exercise, you feel great, you're relaxed, and your body's like, hell yeah, we're good. Same thing with breath. It's a form of exercise. And that's kind of where I'm taking it, because as a physical therapist, I think about breathing not just as like the act of hyperventilating. I don't think of breathing as a way to have that like hallucinating psychedelic experience, although that can be a byproduct of it. I think of it as a way to improve your lung capacity function, move a lot of the joints and internal organs that move. There's like massaging that happens when you breathe deeply from your diaphragm. So I'm thinking about it from that technique, but at the same time, that byproduct is full relaxation, stress reduction, because you're purposefully activating and then you slow it down. And so you're gaining control. So many people who are stressed out, and I'm like, I usually start my classes by just asking, like, who meditates? A few people raise their hand. Who's tried to meditate and doesn't work? A lot of hands go up. Great. At the end of the class, I'm like, okay, did anyone feel like they meditated for the first time? All of those hands that were like up and said they couldn't, at the end of the class, they're like, whoa. They say, very commonly, this is the first time that my mind's been quiet. Wow, I felt like my body, oh, I could feel, I was connected to myself. And that's what lights me up, and that's what motivates me to keep teaching these practices, is because it's the best tool to access connection to ourselves.
I will say I was pretty stressed the other day. I mean, I just, you know, I kind of came to your class having to deal with a few things, and mm-hmm. I mean, I wasn't crazy stressed, but you know, there was stresses there.
Normal
stress,
American just, daily
yeah.
stress.
I mean, if it's just like, oh my god, I forgot to do my laundry. Whatever.
Plus, it's Damon.
Yeah,
so
yes, like, exactly. So I was a little stressed. But it is really nice when you get done with this breathwork stuff. Mm-hmm. It is really nice. Like, you do have a moment where you are breathing super intense, and it is a moment, and you're working at breathing. You're not just like relaxed, and you're staying conscious and you're really staying in it. But when you're done and you have that moment, you really are like, I was completely calm when we were done. I was completely calm. And I kind of knew that might happen, but it was such a wonderful experience that people that are scared of doing breath work, because like, I do feel like people are scared, you know, being in LA, even when I first did it in LA, I was like, these people are freaks. Now that was 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
We're in Arkansas now. Even you said you can't, cause you came back recently because you feel like that things are progressed in this town, especially in this little nugget of the world,
this little bubble of Northwest Arkansas,
Yeah.
There's more openness, I think, to these practices, because there's more research that's coming out. There's more news articles. There's more things that we see on social media about, hey, breathe, slow down. And it's such an intuitive thing, too. Like, we're always breathing, and we're always offering that, like, advice. Hey, breathe, you know. But there is more of an openness to the actual, like, act of breath work. But it's still, like, I think it almost too closely hugs the line of like pseudo science woo woo stuff. And so, but there's a lot more openness, and it's interesting. That's why I really speak about stress, because who's not stressed? Everyone is stressed. Who would be open to stress reduction? Great. Are you open to doing a technique that can help you reduce some stress, release some stress? Yes. So let's practice some breath work. That really seems to be a clear and well received way of communicating about it, but it's still a hard battle. Like, what do? Oh, I teach people how to hyperventilate, and then they're like fucking like slightly, and like go hallucinate, and
people don't like to put themselves out of control.
No, but you're in such control because you are.
Oh, I just meant like in front of other people.
But in front of other people, yeah. That's true. Yeah, we hold on.
I mean, that's even doing yoga. Some a lot of people don't want to do yoga because they're like, I don't want to hold some weird stance. You know, there is. But it's so good.
Of course. It's so good. I'm curious, did your like stress release, did that persist throughout the evening?
Yeah, it did. It really did.
Throughout the night? Did you sleep better?
I mean, I've got a lot of ailments with back and hands, and I just, you know, had a bad back, and I've got this bad neck right now that I haven't been sleeping. And so, but after that breath work, it was, you know, because I think a lot of, you know, if you stress, then you hold a lot of just like you said, stress in your shoulders, and the shoulders, when they are intense, then that pushes all my nerves, which then makes my neck hurt, and it's the whole thing. So I do think that there's a huge benefit. You know, I think that like learning it was, I mean, I enjoyed the class very much.
Keep coming. And I do recall after you said, wow, I've had a lot of like low back pain for a while. And you're like, I don't feel that right now.
Right.
Like, you're like, oh, no pain. Right. So it's a pain. There's a component. I'm also like a pain nerd. I go to all the pain conferences, and that was another rabbit hole I dove into. In combination with breathwork specialization was pain specialization, chronic pain, persistent pain, and then also some mindfulness-based stress reduction meditation practices. Those three components, plus ice bath, we'll get there. Those together really seem to be really a positive way for people to have an improved pain experience or reduced pain. But it's funny, like, that wasn't our goal. We didn't say, hey, let's get rid of your pain. We said, hey, let's breathe and activate your nervous system, get everything moving. Byproduct was pain reduction. And we're starting to see that too, is when you have pain and you look at the pain and you focus at the pain and you put all the lights on the pain, it's not really going to go away. It might even amplify a little bit. It's going to bother you a little bit more. So a new focus of pain science and pain management is, oh, let's not talk about your pain today. How's your quality of life? Oh, how can we improve your quality? Oh, how's your physical activity? How can we exercise more? Let's look over here. And after a couple of weeks, oh, how's your pain? Oh, I didn't even notice. It's gone down quite a bit. So there's this shift of focus, and byproduct pain regulation takes place. So I love hearing stuff like that, because that is my practice. It's helping me with pain. And I'm like stoked to hear it. How's your back today? It's been about a week since we did
breakfast. Well, it's
it's back to normal.
It's always going to be a thing. Like,
you
look,
I hire me as a daily.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a constant thing. I went to physical therapy for my neck today, so you know, I had a pretty bad. Yeah. I had a minor surgery, went massively wrong. So you know, it's fused and all that kind of stuff now. But yeah, I think the breath work completely helps. One thing the breath work definitely helped in was getting in that cold water.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, because I got in that cold bath with you that first time here, and now we have a nice cold bath that we'll be getting into. Talk to me, but you want to talk to me about ice baths?
I would love to.
Let's do it. Let's
that's
try.
The
just
next,
you just
that's
go
the next
it.
Phase. Yeah, because back to Wim Hof, he went to the cold for healing, and he found that, and he gained that. Ice bath, cold exposure, hyperthermic conditioning. Exposing yourself purposefully to cold for an extended period of time is also proving to be a really beneficial health and wellness practice. And then on the other side, it's sauna, heat, hyperthermic conditioning, hyperthermia. And that's also showing a lot of benefit, because you're putting yourself into an environment that forces your physical body to like step up and create heat or combat the heat or generate heat. Traditionally, humans faced the natural world a little bit more intimately, right? Now we have houses with insulation and AC, and you got all your North Face jackets and everything. So we've created a really comfortable lifestyle, but at the same time, we've distanced ourselves from our natural capacity to face those elements. And so ice bath is gaining a lot of popularity because it's reawakening and reactivating people's like intuitive condition where they're like, oh, I can handle way more than I thought. I went to Iceland for Wim Hof training in 2019. So I went to Iceland for a week and a half, did the whole Wim Hof expedition. We were breathing every day, getting our training. We were walking outside barefoot in the snow. We were jumping into frozen lakes. We were jumping into frozen waterfalls. Really changed my life for the better. And I remember once we got there, as soon as we arrived, within like 10 minutes, the individual leading the retreat, his name is Casper Vandermeulen. He's like Wim Hof's like right-hand man. And he said, okay, everyone, shoes off. We're going for a walk. We all took our shoes off. We went for a walk in the snow. And he's like, this is maybe a 20-minute walk. And I was like, okay, cool. Heck yeah, I can handle this. And about after like 5 minutes, my feet were numb. They were hurting. I could feel cuts from like it was like hard snow. So it was like cutting my feet. And in my head, I was like, oh, my feet are bleeding. Like, oh, this is the most miserable experience in the world. Like, I had visions of the Civil War, the stories where like the dudes are like walking barefoot. It's like you could see blood on the trail of the snow. And that's what was happening to me. I was walking in the snow. My feet were cut. I was bleeding everywhere. And then I look down and there's no blood. And I look at the bottom of my feet and there's no cuts. And I'm like, wait, what? Because I really believed, I felt my feet were so cold and they're cut. But then I looked down and I was like, that was the most, like, that was the craziest. Because it showed me how much I can play into an imagination or a creative, an imagery of my mind that I saw it and felt like I felt it. I knew it was real. And then I looked down and so I had that conflict. And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, I'm way, way stronger than I thought. Oh, I can handle, oh, my feet are way stronger than I thought they were. And then the rest of that like 15-minute walk was easy. I was like confident and I was like, okay. And that's the same thing that happens when people get into the ice bath for the first time. They're intimidated. They're scared. They're like, I've been thinking about this for 5 days. I can't, I don't know if I can do it. And they get in, expose themselves to a nice cold tub for about 90 seconds to 2 minutes. And they get out and they're like, oh, there's so much like strength and empowerment. And that's dopamine. Like it's a really healthy dopaminergic practice. So dopamine is reward hormone. Dopamine's released whenever you're looking at TikTok and all your cell phone stuff. But the thing about dopamine whenever you're looking at it on your cell phone is you didn't work for it. Dopamine was made to be a reward for effort. So now we're finding a lot of effortless dopamine reception, alcohol, drugs, excessive psychedelics, dopamine activation, but we're not putting forth that effort. So in the ice bath, you're choosing, you're getting in, and you're really like facing the confronting cold, and your body gets through it. It creates heat, thermoregulation, thermogenesis. You create heat, you get out, and you're like dopamine on fire. Norepinephrine increases too, so you have this like beautiful natural release of mood regulation, energy enhancement, and then also like antidepressant, inflammation is huge. We're all carrying inflammation. The cold and cold exposure on a consistent basis, like 3 times a week, that's a good minimum, approximately. That can help decrease your inflammation, your fat storage. A lot of people lose a lot of weight doing consistent cold
exposure. Well, then I'll probably
exposure.
Jump in there tonight,
I know.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. It's great for wrinkles and skin. It's true, and I definitely like throwing that in there because that definitely gets a nice other subcategory. Yeah, but yeah. So the ice is fascinating, and I've been doing it now for seven years, and almost every day over the last 7 years. At some point, getting into the cold. Whether it's a cold tub or the ocean. I was living in San Diego, so jumping in the ocean. Cold
rivers. Kind of, I will say that living in California, that was the one thing that I would, when I was, you know, was healing from that terrible back surgery, that once I got to a place that I could heal, the mm-hmm. only time that I would ever feel completely okay was when I would go to the ocean and I would go jump in that mm-hmm. cold, miserable ocean. I mean,
cold, beautiful
but
ocean.
But it was cold. But it's cold.
Miserable,
it's if you're,
but yeah,
most people there, don't realize how that everybody in Baywatch was freezing.
Every girl
in Baywatch was really cold. They look like they jump in and like, oh my God, look at me. But
no.
The Baywatch girls were freezing.
Yeah.
And they are freezing. They did
there's
not like
there's like 1 month where it's really, really
yeah, everyone thinks California is like this really warm place.
Southern California is sunny. And it's beautiful. The weather is great, but
it's perfect.
Cold.
It's chilly. It's a chilly little.
That's why people are in wetsuits all the time.
But even in the evening, it's perfect sweater weather. It's warm during the day, and it's sweater weather at night. It's perfect.
This is true. Okay, so I've been getting in the cold.
And a chubby guy looks great in a sweater.
Makes perfect. Gets you slim and fit. Yeah, of course. But yeah, I've been almost daily ice bathing over the last 7 years, and it still sucks. It's still cold. My body still doesn't like it. It's still really hard. I still procrastinate. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get an ice tub. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like cleaning my blinds and like vacuuming. I'm like, I never vacuum. What am I doing? I'm avoiding getting into the cold water. So no matter like how many times you do it, I anticipate I'm going to be doing this. This is like a lifelong practice for me. In 30 years, it's still going to be freaking cold. But I still do it because I'm like aligning with the felt positive experience that I get from doing it and mm-hmm. the knowing of how beneficial it is for me. But I like to tell people that it doesn't get any easier because they think that it gets easier. It doesn't, but you still got to do it.
The world and the internet right now has talked about men's health, right? There's an emphasis on men's depression and all that kind of stuff. Not that we need to dive into that, you can.
Well, I think there's two areas that we're going to cover, right? Men's health and how we can support men. And then the psychedelic space. I think the transition to psychedelics is pretty natural because those experiences and getting into the cold can be psychedelic. I went to the...
Because it's all opening your mind up and stressing and because you do have moments where when you are breathing that your body is kind of releasing. Like you said, like people do have this moment of like, wow, this is the first time I've meditated.
Yeah, it's
euphoria. And I have to say that I agree with that. Like I try to act like I'm meditating. I for sure am like ADD extreme.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that somebody explained to me too that if people are listening to meditation, people get intimidated by meditation because they think they're always doing it wrong. You know, there's this thing where you could kind of look at like Gandhi or a yogi or whatever, and they're sitting there and they're weird little pants and whatever. And but they're also doing it for like an hour. But really, if you just try to calm your brain out, even if it's for 4 seconds, it's somewhat of, that's what somebody told me. They were like, that's a form of meditation and you'll just get better at it. And like, don't freak out, but like, it's just meditation can be as simple. Like, I didn't realize that I used to meditate as a child. Like I'm so hyper and like whatever, but sometimes I just even when I didn't know anything about meditation, I just needed to refuel. And I would just go into a room that was really dark and go lay on my bed and just
chill out.
I would chill out as a kid, and I would and I would need a day, and then I don't have to do that for another 6 months. But I would have this moment.
Little, you got a macro dose of meditation.
Dose of meditation. So as I've started to meditate, once this yogi was like, dude, don't worry about it. He was like, he was like, dude, you're constantly going to be like, I'm going to meditate. And then you're going to go, oh, I wonder what McDonald's has. Or, oh, I want to meditate. Oh, my God.
I think about burritos all the time.
Burritos are so
like,
good.
I'm like
But your brain will constantly think of other things while you're, and not to beat yourself up because your brain is constantly thinking. Your brain's supposed to think. But if you can somehow tune out all of it for a moment, then it's great. And I will say breathwork did that for me, and people should try it just to see what happens.
You should try it. You should absolutely try it. And if you need some help trying it, I know someone that can help you try it.
And then in the world of psychedelics, there's a huge movement right now. And, you know, especially started on the, I mean, I feel like started on the West Coast, and, you know, all of my friends, people that were, you know, the straightest laced people in the world are now talking about
microdosing.
Just a speech impediment. Sorry, guys. We have not taken any today. But they're microdosing. They're talking about psychedelics. And
not quite as loud as how you're talking about them, though.
What do you mean?
Sensitive and quiet.
It is a very sensitive thing. Although
it's getting more.
I had a friend who, which by the way, you know, when we first, I don't know when ketamine hit the market. Well, before it was ketamine therapy, there were just people like were going into K holes, right?
Well, and like, so there's like a difference between recreational use of psychedelics and therapeutic.
Totally get it, but like all of a sudden, I have a friend who is. You know, they're very successful people. They're very normal people. They have a very corporate job. They were going through from serious depression for some, you know, a really horrible death happened in the family. They went into deep depression. They were clinically, they had to go away. They had to be put away. And, you know, it was bad. I mean, they lost it and they couldn't find their way out and all that kind of stuff. And this was the first time that I'd ever heard someone be prescribed ketamine and go to and this was before like now ketamine there's like
camp.
Ketamine centers.
You're going off to ketamine camp,
but there's like ketamine centers now. You know, like that. Like, but this was kind of before that. She was going to the hospital. There were doctors, and it helped her.
Yeah.
So no matter what my thoughts are, because I for sure was not into it. I was like, this sounds crazy to me.
Yeah.
K-holes, but now, and I literally just saw a tweet of Elon Musk that was like, oh, you should do this if you want. Like, and I was like, okay, wow, this thing has really come a long way.
Oh, yeah, he's talking about ketamine, right?
I guess, I don't know. He just did a little tweet about it, but I was like, but it now it's kind of, it's becoming commonplace for people with depression to do ketamine. And now,
well, not just ketamine, right? Ketamine, MDMA, psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms. Ayahuasca is a popular choice, gaining popularity. Iboga is another one. It's, where is it from? I'll be able to pull that one out.
Is that the frog thing?
No, no, Iboga. I'll have to return to the. Source of Iboga. It's an I think it's a Western African like plant medicine. But so one disclaimer: I don't prescribe. I'm not a psychedelic assisted therapist in any way, shape, or form. I'm an advocate of psychedelics for people who. Can find them and have the proper support and set and setting. And there are a lot of retreat centers and places to do them. I don't think that it's a fix-all type practice either. So I'm not a psychedelic therapist, but I do think that there's such promise and there's a ton of research coming out. Like John
Well, you
Hopkins.
Just went to tell me about because you went to this psychedelic.
I went to the MAPS, so Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies. So the MAPS Psych Science Conference in Denver, Colorado. 11,000 people were there. It was the largest gathering of psychedelic sciences. And so it was like a 4-day conference with so many speakers, Paul Stamets, Michael Pollan, Rick Doblin, who started MAPS, and Andrew Huberman was there speaking.
Who is that?
Andrew Huberman is a neuroscientist out of Stanford who's very popular. He has the Huberman Lab podcast. Huberman Labs. Andrew Huberman's Huberman Labs. Tim Ferriss spoke. So all these high level influencers, not just only in the psychedelic space, but in the science and health and wellness world, were there in support. Aaron Rodgers, football player, has spoke about how ayahuasca has been really powerful for his journey for health and mental health and athletic performance. So I went to the conference as a, not as a physiotherapist, but as a stress provider, someone that is wanting to learn more about how we can learn about things that can help people in different ways and shapes and forms. So ketamine therapy is extremely popular. MDMA therapy is gaining advocacy to be legal as a therapy. MDMA, MDMA was like the star of the show. So many people were hyped. And I would say 80% of the attendees were psychotherapists.
So crazy.
It's crazy because
MDMA was like legal in Dallas for a hot second.
Yeah. Well, that's a different story. I want to hear about that. But so MDMA therapy is gaining a ton of popularity because it seems that it opens up access to unconscious feelings and emotions. And so then you can have a really effective talk therapy versus you go to a talk therapy and you're anxious and you're like, I don't really know you and I don't really want to fucking tell you anything. And like, who? And so these psychedelic assisted therapies really help people go into the stuff that they probably want to get into anyway. And that's why they're going to therapy. And so going to this conference was really eye-opening because it just showed how much interest there is, where the direction of our healthcare system is going, our mental health system is going. It's not going all the way over to psychedelics, but psychedelics will be a part of the solution, amongst other things. But it is absolutely coming in many shapes and forms. Microdosing is taking a, they used to say that microdosing was like taking just a little bit of magic mushrooms where you don't really feel it, but it's like under doing some underlying positive benefits to your body. But Paul Stamets was saying that he's now defining microdosing as non-intoxicating. Like you take enough psilocybin that you can maybe feel it a little bit. Like there's a little bit more color and vibrancy in the world, but you're not intoxicated. You're not unable to drive and go about your daily living. And so there's this really interesting like world that's opening up. It's psilocybin, it's MDMA, it's ketamine, it's all of these things. And so something that Andrew Huberman said that I love as a breath worker, I'm like, okay, psychedelics are one thing, but I get psychedelic type experiences through my breathing practices. Like my morning meditation, I just do like, I do that 20 times and all of a sudden I feel like more connected. And I'm like, that's kind of psychedelic. Andrew Huberman said, and he's one of the opening talks that I went to, he's like, it's more a state of mind. It's more like enhancing your mind and being more open to reality around you, being more open to the space, being more available to connect with other people. He's like, that's psychedelic. It's not specifically consuming what's called an entheogen. So entheogen is a plant that creates hallucinations. That's one form of psychedelics, but having a trippy dream, like how psychedelic can you get? Like you're dreaming about like a car floating and then you're sitting in a trailer park with some random watching TV. What the hell? Yeah, exactly. So what we're seeing is that you don't need drugs to create that type of experience. You can open through many modalities. People get runner's high. That's a psychedelic experience. If you think about psychedelic experiences from the definition of a shift of the human mind, it's a shift of mind state, it's an openness to the creative forces.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Runners that run 20 miles, yeah. I don't even know how.
But they're just getting they must high go as hell.
They must go into a different space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's meditative, it's healing, it feels good. For some, it's excessive. They're running away from something, I don't know.
It's pretty crazy.
But yeah, so that's just like, but the spectrum of human experience is so broad. It's wild.
Uh-huh. Like, what are the benefits that people are seeing from
psychedelics and therapy? Yeah. So right now, like, we're recognizing that SSRIs, antidepressants, aren't that great for you. They really don't work that well either.
What is that?
SSRIs are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They're types of antidepressant drugs.
Like
Zoloft
and Prozac. Is that how that works? I didn't even know that.
We won't get into how it works, but that's how it works.
Okay.
And but they work for people. Yeah, like a lot of people take antidepressants and it works, and a lot of people will have what's called treatment resistant depression. So they try, and they're still kind of depressed. Therapy for treatment resistant depression, they've shown that macro dosing, so taking like 2 grams plus of magic mushrooms, 3 grams. They call it a hero's dose when you take 5 grams. This is in a therapeutic setting with a guide. And actually what I learned is that these guided trips, these macro doses experiences, usually have teams of 5 people just being involved and supporting the person who's going through a process. These macro dose experiences on psilocybin, magic mushrooms, in a therapeutic setting are showing huge, huge positive, like huge positive antidepressive type effects. Typically, people say it's one of the most profound experiences they've had. They don't feel depressed for weeks and weeks and weeks after. Some people say that they just like completely healed everything. There's a lot of research and studies that like in end of life diagnoses in hospice care, I can't imagine how much like stress and anxiety goes through that process. And a lot of people who are facing that do a macro dose experience therapeutic in the therapeutic setting. And they really come to like terms with their phase of life. And it, with that comes maybe more openness and ability to connect with family members. So there's this like macro dose experience that's psilocybin, that's ayahuasca, that's iboga. These are things that are like making huge differences, like in like one session or in like 2 nights or 2 days sessions. Like people are having these huge like awakenings of some sort, that seem to be very positive. And then MDMA therapy and ketamine therapy and psilocybin therapy too these are like, you're going to a therapist for 6 weeks. And every time you go and see that therapist, you just take a little bit and you're in that space with them. And that's more of like, not so much of like a macro, like, have the full experience, but more of like have enough of an experience to be more receptive to the talk therapy. So I think, and it seems that through a lot of the research, and I am very wary of biased research because there's so much like, oh, coffee's great. Oh, this, oh my that's gosh. That. And like, so
let's put what is it? Coconut oil in your coffee every morning.
I
was just even thinking about it. I saw a kale salad.
Yeah.
I have not heard people talk about kale recently.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because kale cured everything there for what, 3 years?
Yeah. Until someone like creates a kale company, and then all of a sudden there's some kale research that comes out to support kale. So there's that. Anyway, let's not get into that bullshit. But yeah, a lot of the research is showing promise for this to be an alternative practice. It's not, again, the solution.
There's also a thing of like, you don't know what works for each person, right? There's just like, you mean if you need help.
Yeah. Illegal.
Yeah.
It's still illegal. So, but there are states that are opening up to that. Like,
really?
Yeah. I mean, Colorado.
Oh, really?
I could buy mushrooms there.
Oh,
like,
really?
Openly, like at the conference, chocolate bar. I didn't, but I could have. And then Oregon, all those hippy-dippy.
All those hippy-dippy states. It always goes hippy-dippy first, and then it figures it out.
But there's a big push for advocacy. I think it's like ketamine's legal for therapy in all states. The number of states that are decriminalizing mushrooms is increasing. There's a lot more people getting on board.
It really is. I mean, the people that I've known that have done ketamine treatments are not like, they're not like these backwoods little kids. They're people that are successful in real jobs, doctors, lawyers.
And it's performance enhancing. So, yeah.
This is a
high level.
Yeah. I've been very shocked about the people that I found that are starting to do these alternate. I mean, I talked to someone that legitimately says that the horn toad or whatever, you know what I'm talking about? The horny toad or whatever. No. Do you know what I'm talking about?
So there's combo and then there's 5-MeO. So you're talking about 5-MeO. 5-MeO is DMT, and that's the toad. There's
the
toad
poison.
It's a toad excretion from a toad, a certain type of toad. And it contains DMT, dimethyltryptamine, and it's called 5-MeO. DMT.
Well, they credit them for saving their life.
Save people's lives.
And she's a therapist and has dedicated her life into treating people with that.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay.
I know some therapists in San Diego who have tried ayahuasca, which is also DMT, and they've tried the toad 5-MeO, and they had these profound, amazing, enlightening experiences that changed their lives. They're therapists for a reason. They're trying to like understand themselves and also help other people understand themselves. And so they pursue and seek and find out that these things work, changes their lives. And they're like, ooh. So I know a lot of therapists who are now making that shift too. And they're like, whoa, I'm all in. I'm very much all in. And that's another one that is rising in popularity. Another thing that I think is important to speak about, and which was mentioned in the conference quite a bit, is that when we humans see something that we like, we're like, ooh, okay, give me, let's produce, mass produce, da da da, let's figure this out. Oh, a small tribe in Amazon has ayahuasca, great. Like everyone floods to the Amazon to do ayahuasca. And at the same time, kind of like just stomps all over the place. Great, thank you for the ayahuasca, see ya. And then, I think there's a lot of caution around this huge movement that's coming. Mm-hmm,
for sure.
And I think it makes sense because...
Well, it's scary.
It's scary, and also a lot of these practices
if they're real. I mean, I'm not sure I'm jumping in on the ayahuasca train. I feel like that this breath work...
Well, I think it's scary for like the personal individual reasons, but I think it's scary too for like the concept that we could just, you know, like use and abuse and take advantage of... The way, like the toad is a natural living animal, and now all of a sudden we're like, oh fuck yeah, let's breed all these toads and have toads. And so I think from that space, from that like angle, from the environmental space too, it's like these are like ancient sacred practices, and I think it's important to look at them like that and have that in your psyche as you're engaging in these therapies. MDMA is something that's made in the lab, so you can consult with your local scientists and thank the local scientists. But I do want to just make a point to speak into that. Like if you are interested in psychedelics, come in with that like awareness of where you're getting that and what it's coming from. It's just like a positive practice when you're eating food and you're saying thank you to the farmers and the cow that you're about to munch down on. So I think that's important when it comes to psychedelics and using psychedelics, is like honoring that. The culture and where it comes from.
How have you started? Are you trying to bring all of it together? What's the plan right now for Justin's Wellness Center?
Justin's Wellness Journey. I teach and share these practices from a place of like personal experiencing, and I advocate breathwork because I practice breathwork because breathwork's benefited me. I advocate for ice bath because of the same exercise. I promote exercise and healthy living because of the positive benefits that I've gained, talk therapy, psychedelic therapy, I have engaged in and seen tremendous benefit in my own life. And it's fascinating how everything's converged for me. Again, like going into physical therapy, learning about the human body and physiology and discovering breath work and recognizing that people are stressed the hell out. And so I need to help people stress the hell out. And I can help people stress the hell out by inviting meditative practices, and then the best way to meditate is actually to move your body and to breathe. And so everything just like has mixed together so powerfully. And so again, my current health and wellness practice, which is called True Self Health and Human Performance, it really encompasses all of those pieces into one package for whoever I'm working with. I work with groups, I work with individuals. And at the end of the day, it's like, okay, what works for you? Do you like, what's your physical activity levels? Like let's do some breath work together. Did you vibe with this breathwork technique. Let's try this one. Ooh, you like that one better. Let's do that. And so have you tried the cold ice bath? That's a hell no. Great. We don't need an ice bath. Are you down for a cold shower every now and then? Okay. Yeah, let's do that. So my practice is continuing to evolve. I'm a true believer in Northwest Arkansas and Bentonville as being a place where this is like part of the culture, and it is, and it's becoming that more and more. And I know so many people who have moved here, and they're like, "I'm more healthy in Arkansas than I was in New York City." Like, it's crazy how many people,
how great this place is.
Yeah, it's crazy how many people I see who are moving here, and they're like, "Wow, I love the mountain biking scene, the trails, exposure to nature. The Ozark Mountains are magical,
crazy,
dude." Yeah. I'm fully in on Northwest Arkansas. I think it's a great full circle for me. It's a perfect time for me to come back to the area, and I'm excited to bring all my woo-woo science-based practices with me.
Local kid coming back with all his woo-woo to Arkansas.
Woo Pig Suey, that's right.
Woo Pig Suey. Who knew that the pig chant would be starting breathwork?
Woo Pig Suey.
All right, guys, before we do the Pig Arkansas chant, we will be doing it with breathwork.
That's right.
And, I'm just kidding. Yeah. But I really appreciate you for coming on. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. Diving into this new little world is fascinating.
Yeah.
And I encourage everybody out there in the good times world to get a breathwork session from Justin. Don't be scared. Don't be intimidated. I think the benefits are truly amazing. And on that, have a good time.
Thank you for having me.
Well, that's our show. If you didn't get a chance to watch the episode, check it out on YouTube and Spotify. You can also listen to The Good Time Show on Apple Podcasts or any other platform. We are always trying to grow our Planet Good Times community, so subscribe and follow us at Good Times Us on almost all social media platforms. This episode was presented and recorded live at Blake Street House Sound Lounge in Bentonville, Arkansas, a social club where people from all walks of life come together just to be themselves and make the community a better place. Till next time, good times, everybody.